I think my favorite part was like her saying this, the language, like having that language barrier she was talking about the elitist Greek versus the slang or whatever was it? Yeah, it was street language. And I was just like, yeah, that's a perfect way to really distinguish between like, or like other people on the show have said like coffee bro logic, sort of like this kind of like almost sense of like pretentiousness that comes from data analytics in coffee world is really intimidating. It doesn't matter what science is intimidating, especially to people who are kind of like traversing coffee in general. This is all new territory and people don't understand how deep this can go. Like there's so much science and data analysis on the coffee, on chemical reactions to the brain, on what caffeine provides, what it all is entailing, what manipulation to the ground level, and like learning all about that versus a lot of the time people just on a consumer more street basis talk about coffee and the enjoyment, what kind of beverages they like. And it's just, I love the kind of like what I implemented as code switching, like all of it just needs to intermingle. I think that it's important to have both sides. Not one is better than the other. Not one should be without the other.
Yeah, I agree. I think, I like how she's, she brought India coffee to America through Instagram.
Yeah, I love social, like, I don't love, oh, God. Social media is a love-hate relationship.
There is a love-hate, but there's the benefit of it.
Right.
There is that.
Sourcing.
She probably would have found it, yes, but it took her longer to do. Mm-hmm. So, you know, Instagram is, or social media has now become a very positive thing.
Yeah.
That, you know, she gets to share that unique flavor, that unique process of making India coffee.
Right.
What she was talking about. That's really intriguing that.
The Middle East also does the same aspect of having different ways of serving the coffee.
Okay.
So it is, I just think in general, coffee is a very ceremonial and cultural aspect in different cultures.
It seems to be. Well, especially the history of him sneaking the.
I love the cute little like beans in his beard.
His stories grow great, aren't they? I love it. You know, like here, Johnny Appleseed bringing the apple seeds across the Midwest and such. It's just, you know, some of that has a grain of truth, but it's that, it's the mystique, it's the fun, it's the quirkiness. It's a mythology, I guess you could say.
Folklore is always a really fun like thing to like think back on and like stories. It's just storytelling is great. I loved the implementation of it.
Yeah. And how she what hit me too is how she changed the name of the company, her legacy of just India Company or
India Works.
India Works and then New India Works, and how this generation is really to the roots of
the river that sourced.
Exactly.
Yeah, it's so deep. Like everything, it's so intentional
that
she's created for herself. And I love that it's not just like, oh, this came up out of nowhere. It's more like everything is rooted in who I am, and who I am is written on me and on my brand.
Right. And that you don't have to outward facing say, this is from India because we put the Indian name in our company name. It's that we can take the next step further and it doesn't matter anymore.
Right.
Which is really cool. It's really cool. I'm intrigued to, I guess I didn't, you know, learning as we go through this about the Robusto and the.
Yeah, the Robusto and the Arabica.
Yeah. So talk a little bit about that.
So coffee that we mostly consume on a consumer level is Arabica coffee.
Okay.
And coffee has different genuses. So it comes in Robusta and it comes in, I think there's a different one that starts with an L. I'm also still learning.
Yeah, that's cool.
And then there's the Arabica. And in general, the one that is most cultivated is Arabica. It's the most popular, and it's got a lot more data analysis in terms of quality and management and growth. Versus Robusta tends to be, it's on the side of a bigger bean just by the size, and it actually has higher caffeine levels than Arabica coffee, but it's harder to cultivate and there's not as much data analysis on it. And I think it's starting to grow though, like that this part of the coffee world is still constantly evolving and changing, is trying to like look elsewhere outside of the Arabica coffee bean, because I know that there's a lot of happening in climate change and affecting it, its growth in different regions. So yeah, it's like I said, this is all part of that like kind of like Greek language of there's different types of coffee beans, there's different varietals, there's different like processing and all these things, and people want to learn more about this stuff. It can be intimidating, though.
Yeah, it is sad commentary on that, you know, a very small percentage control what we think. I'm not really saying that properly, but it's that the elitists of it have such a say in it, it seems, that it's a good or bad coffee.
And the coffee
if we want to pay attention to that, if we want to.
I think in the industry itself, it's predominant on communicating is that elitist language. And it can be very isolating and it can be very intimidating. It's when we take that kind of language and we put it in the consumer's world is where the disconnect is the biggest problem. And I think that that's what makes the part sad is that once you kind of like are so much consumed with the analytics and a lot of the science and a lot more of like A and B and C, we forget the fact that this is a story and the people who produced it, they're a real family. And like she was talking about things going back 5 and 6 generations and it's ingrained in their culture. And I think that it's just, it's so easy to nitpick what the altitude and what the process and every aspect of the process it's gone to. The traceability aspect is important, but also who are these people and what is the community like? What is the region and the story of the region, and like every state and city and county and country has a different story towards what coffee represents for them.
Yeah. And ultimately is, I guess, it makes you, I would think a higher percentage of coffee drinkers are just like, that's a good cup of coffee.
Mm-hmm. I loved her hot take. Her hot take is something that pisses me off. I know. And it affects me too.
We've heard that story.
I hate it.
Yeah.
It's like, what's your favorite coffee? What's the best coffee? I'm like, and I answer it the same fucking way. I'm like, there's no fucking thing as the best coffee. It's like, what are you looking for? Do you want something higher in acidity? Do you want something in chocolate or chocolate, like heavier body?
It should be more of a, what's your favorite?
Like, what's your style of coffee should be the question, I think. You
know, maybe something like that.
Like, change the shit up.
What's the best? Yeah. What do you like in a just kind of change the verbiage, because obviously you're in it all the time, so people do want to kind of ask you.
Right.
But it's the wrong question.
Yeah. I think if we reworded it in saying, what's your style of coffee, it gives people a literal different look off of what they're working with. Like, I feel like if someone was to look at me instead of saying, what's your favorite coffee? What region's the best region? Be like, okay, what's your style of coffee? Like, what do you like about coffee?
Yeah.
Because then the conversation can really happen there and people will be very much intrigued to know there's so much more to coffee than just espresso beverages.
Right. And I'm sure my...
And Starbucks.
Yeah, my taste buds are not that sophisticated to know the chocolatey nuances and stuff. I know that's a big thing in wine and such.
Yeah.
It's like, okay, I can read that on a label, but that means absolutely nothing to me. It actually could turn to be a turnoff.
Yeah.
Because I can see that it's maybe, like you mentioned, chocolatey or something. Going, I don't want a chocolate coffee, but it doesn't mean that. So therefore, consumer stupid.
I don't know if I should say that.
Or let's not say stupid, consumer ignorant. I don't know what that means. I don't know what chocolatey means when I drink it. If I see that, I'm thinking, okay, it's going to have a chocolate taste, and I don't want a chocolate coffee.
I think culinary, any terminology throws off anyone's experience with it.
For sure.
But I think that if you really want to understand any kind of culinary experience, it takes some level of patience to exploration. And if you're not open to the experience of exploration, you'll be forever lost in whatever the terminology is being said. Because there's only so much that I can do to describe coffee.
Right. Or to find out, let's say you have a favorite coffee that you drink. I would love to know, okay, what is the description of this? So I now know this is the base for me. I like this coffee, and it has this, and this notes to it.
Right.
Great. Now I know what I'm...
What to work with.
What to work with.
And
that takes some work.
I think that, like, if people have the opportunity to have coffee roasters in their city or whatever, and they get to explore what they have to offer, and they're able to pick out notes and just try coffee, like, remember what the notes are on the back, mm-hmm. and then keep shopping accordingly to that.
And then take the next step of where did it come from?
Yeah, I feel like there's always a good way to start. Yeah. I think that it's just like, yeah, it's kind of an investment. Coffee's not cheap. It shouldn't be cheap after everything we've talked about on the show. Mm-hmm. But overall, it's the same process of, okay, do you like wine? What kind of wine do you like? You like it fruity? Do you like it a little bit dry? Okay, cool. So then are you interested in learning how each winery crafts their wine? It's just a part of the process. If you're really interested and intrigued, it's like, don't alienate yourself in the language. Be immersed in the community.
Wow, that's a mic drop.
Boom.
The new tagline for the podcast, right there.
Don't alienate yourself in the language. Be part of the community. Yeah.
I like it. Yeah. And that's a good synopsis of what you just talked to her about.
Yeah.
Honestly. Yeah.
There were so many facets to this episode that it all seemed so well-rounded. It was a very well-rounded conversation having with her, from her story to what she wants to really focus on. And then I loved this like little psychological segment of comfort zones and like what she brought into that. Because in reality, that can be applied to so many different aspects of life. And I think that understanding what comfort zones are and then challenges and then that level of panic, I think that it's just such a good way to also use that when it comes to problem solving, to risk taking, to just conversational aspects also. There was just a lot of good things being said this episode. I feel very much like a lot has been shone a light on.